Thank the Lord for the privilege that we have of worship today. We started a series, what I believe the Lord was going to extend into a series last week, speaking about foundations of truth, and we, Lord willing, will continue that series as the Lord leads. But the Lord gave me another message that He wanted me to share with you all this morning. So we got series one, and then we're going to take a little detour, and then we'll come back to it. So the title of the message this morning is God Has Inclined His Ear. And I guess the Lord was talking to Jen and me the same way. I noticed when she said her memory verse this morning, I thought, well, the Lord's been talking to more than one of us. So I like to talk about God inclining His ear to us. We like to begin in the 18th chapter of Luke. Luke in the 18th chapter in the 35th verse. Very familiar passage of Scripture, a story. It said, it came to pass that as he, speaking of Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Now, in one of the other accounts in the book of Mark, now I'm reading from Luke in the 18th chapter, but in the account that is given in Mark 10, it says that there was a great multitude. So I want us to keep something in mind, because sometimes we think about Jesus and the 12 disciples and maybe Jesus in the 70, but a multitude by definition means a great number. So when a great number or a multitude followed Jesus out to the mountains and he fed them, how many were there? Remember? Jesus fed the multitude. One place he fed 5,000 plus women and children. And normally there's more women and children than there are men. So we're talking about maybe 15,000 to 20,000 people, right? If you multiply that out. So when it says a great multitude was come, they were coming down the road, and here's Jesus walking down the road with a great multitude, it was more, most likely more than just a few hundred people. So literally, if you can get this picture in your mind, that there, realistically, there could have been thousands of people that were following Jesus. And there's a blind man, and one of the other accounts tells us his name. It was Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was there and he was begging. What better place to beg than where there's a crowd? And he heard him come, and he was on the roadside, and he had to ask, what's going on? What's happening? I'm hearing all this commotion, because it was more than just a few. What's going on? And someone told him, he said, well, Jesus is coming. Well, let's continue reading. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know there was something that Bartimaeus had heard that caused him to want to call out to Jesus? He had heard about Jesus. He had heard about the miracles that he performed. And I'm sure he was thinking, now is my opportunity. What better opportunity to cry out to Jesus when you know he's passing by your way? I don't want Jesus to pass by my way and I just sit silently. And so as Bartimaeus began to cry out, it's like, son of David, have mercy on me. People rebuked him. It's like, here, be quiet. There's enough commotion as it is. Just settle down. Be quiet. And it said he cried out the louder. Do you realize that he was desperate? He was desperate. It's like, I'm blind, and there's someone that there's a possibility that I can get his attention. In the midst of possibly thousands of people, and here's this man calling out to Jesus. Well, he didn't stop, and he didn't quiet down. And it said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood. Another account said he stood still. And he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? I am so encouraged this morning to know that when we cry out to the Lord, and there's so many people, there's so many problems in our world today, but when Bartimaeus called out to the Lord, he heard him. and he stopped and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, this morning the Lord is in the business of stopping amidst the crowd and the multitude and paying attention to your cry and to my cry. And sometimes the enemy would like to make us think, you really think the Lord's going to hear you? I mean, why would the Lord, with this, with life like it is and the world, and here I'm praying to God, and you really think that he's going to hear you? The answer to that is, to the devil this morning, I say, yes, he really will hear me, and he will attend unto my cry. And that's exactly what Jesus did right here. He stood still, and he said, what do you need me to do? And as you know the story, Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I will receive my sight." And Jesus reached unto him and said, "Receive thy sight, thy faith have saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Do you understand what the cry was from Bartimaeus? He said, "Son of David," he said, "have mercy. Lord, I have something that amidst all these people, Lord, I'm trying to get your attention, and I can't say I deserve anything. I can't say I've earned anything. I can't say that I merit you taking time for me. So I'm just going to ask for mercy." You know, that's the kind of cry that the Lord hears still this morning. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we've been good enough for it. It's not because we've been holy enough for it. It's not because we've measured to everybody's expectations. But our cry is, "Lord, would you have mercy? Because I don't deserve it. But Lord, I'm still going to cry out." And Jesus stood still. And Jesus is still standing still when we cry out this morning. David got in multiple places of feeling very desperate before the Lord. In the 18th Psalm, in the first verse, it said to the chief musician, a psalm of David, Psalms 18, "The servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So that's the reason why that David wrote this. What we're going to read now is because he had been running from his enemies. There was someone that was out to kill him, and the Lord delivered David. And this was an expression of his heart. Thank you. An expression of his heart when the Lord delivered him. He said, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Lord, this is my heart. I love you. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." See, the Lord, you're my strength, you're my help. You're my shield. You're my all in all. Lord, I put my trust in you. And he said, "I will call upon the Lord." And we sing that song sometimes. I will call upon the Lord who's what? Worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Why? Because I called upon you, Lord, and you heard me. And you saved me from mine enemies. He said, "The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. I looked around me, and it seemed like I was overwhelmed with the sinfulness of the world and the waves of sin around me." And it said, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about." That's pretty serious stuff. "The snare of death prevented me." And so verse 6, listen to what he said. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears." So to whom shall we turn in time of trouble? On whom shall we call? Lord, I will call upon the Lord because he's heard me. He will hear me. He heard my voice, and in my distress, when I didn't know where to go, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know how to solve my problem, Lord, in my distress. So do saints get distressed? What do y'all think? Saints get distressed? I was in Walmart this week, and I had an eye appointment, and the doctor and I got into a discussion, and she kind of unloaded, and when we came in, I'd ask her how she was doing. I told her I was blessed, and she said, "I am stressed." And I said, "Well, you know, they say too blessed to be stressed, but I said, I think we can be blessed in our stress." And that facilitated a good conversation. But do you realize that sometimes we are in distress? And yet, when we cry unto the Lord, He's there to hear us in our distress. And I'm so thankful for that. I'd like to relate a little story. In 1989, so it's been a few years ago, but there was a Boy Scout troop that went in to explore a mine in Utah. And I believe the name of the mine was Hidden Treasure Mine, but it's very deep. It's a big mine. And there's a 10-year-old boy by the name of Joshua Dennis, and he got separated in this mine from the troop of Boy Scouts. And he got separated, and for days he was without food, without water, no flashlight, no warm clothes. He got stranded in a narrow part of the mine, and he couldn't find his way out. And this is a 10-year-old boy. It was so dark in there, he couldn't see his hand in front of his face. And he ended up being rescued. I want to tell you about that. But he said that while he was in this mine and couldn't see anything, he said he sang songs to try to keep encouraged. And one of the songs that this 10-year-old boy sang was, "I am a child of God." There were literally hundreds of people. I think they said there were 200 law enforcement officials out. There were volunteers from the community. So there were hundreds of people that were searching for him in and around this mine. There were dogs brought in. They couldn't find him. On the fifth day, just 5 days that this little boy was in this mine by himself, on the fifth day, someone heard a faint, distant voice calling for help. After 5 days, that little boy was still calling out, "Someone help me." And someone heard that voice from a distance, and they hollered back. Do you know what hope that would have been? If you would have been that little boy for 5 days, hungry, dehydrated, and still calling out. Maybe his voice was growing faint, I don't know. But after 5 days, and then to hear someone respond and call out his name, "Joshua," do you know what hope that would have been? And they said that they began hollering back, and he was found in one of the offshoots of this mine. He was in a 5-by-6-foot area that went back 30 feet. So it was a 5-by-6 area. It was 30 feet off one of the bigger veins. It was 2,000 feet from the mine entrance. 2,000 feet from the mine entrance. He was cold and dehydrated and exhausted. A number of his toes had frostbite. They said he emerged in the arms of his rescuer, and they came out and they said there was just a deafening roar and cheers that went out from these hundreds of people that had been searching for him, but he had been found. But the reason I share that story this morning is because he cried out, and someone heard his voice. And that is what the Lord does for us. When it seems like that maybe no one else is hearing, I don't want to stop crying out, because the Lord will hear. So the Lord's ear is not heavy this morning that he cannot hear. He hears our cry. So you remember Peter when he was walking on water, and he began to sink. I know Peter kind of gets a bad rap. Well, he started sinking, but he was the only one out of the boat, folks. He was the only one out of the boat. The rest of them, they didn't even have enough faith to get out of the boat. He might have started sinking, but it was his faith that got him there. But when he cried out, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand. Immediately. And I know I've related here, but I still remember we lived in Shawnee at the time, and I remember kneeling down by the bed, and I was feeling like I was sinking. And I remember so distinctly, I felt just like Peter when the Lord put his hand out and lifted him up. When we cry out to the Lord, he will hear us. He will hear us. We may be cold, and we may be a little dehydrated. We may feel a little bit spiritually shriveled up. But when we cry unto the Lord, he's going to hear our voice. And he's going to, when we don't have the strength to walk, when we've cried out, he's going to pick us up, and he's going to carry us to a place of light. Do you know those rescuers, just thinking about this, 2,000 miles, they had light with them, but for those 2,000 feet, they still had to carry him out, and there was darkness still all around him. Sometimes when the Lord gets us and carries us, there's still darkness, but there's a light with him, but he's going to take us out. He's going to get us out, but we don't want to stop calling out. And so then, think about, there's another passage of Scripture, and over in Psalm 116, Lord help us to get hold of this morning. In Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, it said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. This is what one of the reasons I love the Lord this morning. I love him because he died for me. I love him because he forgave me. But I love the Lord this morning just like David, because he heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Why will I keep calling on the Lord? Because when I have been in trouble, he inclined his ear to me. Do you know what it means to incline? It's when someone inclines, don't they lean down? Have you ever been when someone is very, very sick and they can't hardly talk and they're just talking in a whisper? What do you do? When you're either a caregiver or you're trying to communicate, what do? You incline, don't you? You get down real close. It's like, what did you say? Say it again. And you're just attentive and listening. What did you say? I would this morning that in times that we go through difficulties, that we would remember that God has inclined his ear to me. There may be others around and they're not hearing me. They're not hearing me. And yet the Lord comes up to where we are and he leans down and he's given special attention. I want to hear what you have to say. God has inclined his ear to each and every one of us this morning. He's leaning down and in our weakness, because there are times that you can try to say something and people don't hear. I know sometimes I don't hear as well as I used to, and someone will say something, I'm kind of like, can you say that again? Because I didn't hear. But do you realize the Lord is inclining? So I don't know what all your troubles, all your prayers are, all the things that we face in life. But I will say personally, but also for each one of you this morning, I am so thankful that the Lord is inclining. He's not just way up there. He's leaning down, and he's listening. And he's going to bring us out. He inclined. And I may not remember all the words. I'd have to start at the beginning to get them in my mind right. But in the song, What a Friend, there is a portion there that said, he hears the heart's what? Faint whisper? Is it the faint whisper? There's also some that says about the faintest cry, isn't there? That both of those parts are in there. But it's like the Lord is such a friend that we don't even have to, sometimes we can't even maybe adequately communicate. But God, in his understanding, his divinity, he inclines and he hears maybe not even the cry of my mouth. He knows the cry of my heart. And he hears that faintest whisper when no one else around can hear the cry of my heart. Does anybody here hear the cry of my heart? No, you can just hear what comes out of my mouth. But the Lord is attuned this morning to the heart's faint cry. And he's inclined his ear. Jonah found himself in a place, didn't he, when he was in the belly of the fish, in his disobedience. You want to talk about saying, Lord, have mercy on me. In his disobedience, even, Jonah cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord, and it said, he heard me out of the belly. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And I know I shared just a few weeks ago, but I'll say it again. When I got to a place a few weeks ago that it felt like I didn't have any words I could pray anymore, it was like the Lord prayed for me. It's like, Lord, I don't have the words. I can't. There's nothing else I can do. But the Lord inclines his ear, and he hears your heart. And I'm so thankful that's the kind of God we serve. Psalm 40, verse 1, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. Isn't that just like the Lord this morning? David was in a pit. He was in a dark place, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto him in where he was. And I'm so thankful. So in closing this morning, I want to close with one more of these psalms. Because it let me know as I was studying, David was in this place quite frequently. But I was amazed and encouraged that how often David came back to this point right here. And so David said in Psalm 88, verse 2, let my prayer come before thee, incline thy ear unto my cry. And that is my prayer and my desire for each one of us this morning. But it's not just my desire. I know it. This is what the Lord does. And I want you to be encouraged this morning to know that the Lord God has inclined his ear to your prayer this morning. And I thank God for that. May the Lord bless each one of you in Jesus' name.